Hey, I'm Brendan, and we're going to talk about admission controllers, how they interact with Kubernetes, and what they can do for you. Well, I want to start by just sort of diagramming out what a request looks like when it comes into Kubernetes. There's basically three parts. There's obviously the person, or potentially automation, that is making the API call. That goes to the API server. And that eventually goes to the etcd database. That's the basic flow of all API requests. Now, inside of the API server itself, there's code that does RBAC for authorization. And it also does authentication. So that allows you to say, hey, this user can or can't do certain things within the cluster. But there's a lot of stuff that you might want to do that involves either modifying or validating an API object that looks within the API object itself in order to make decisions or even make modifications. And that's where admission controllers come in. So an admission controller is something that happens after our authn and authz. After a user has been authorized, an admission controller is called. And those are usually webhooks, so that you can dynamically register admission controllers. And there are two basic classes of admission controllers. There are validating admission controllers, and there are mutating admission controllers. As you might guess from the name, a validating admission controller looks at the contents of an API object and makes sure that it's a valid API object. And we'll talk a little bit about some use cases for that. A mutating admission controller looks at an API object and actually changes it. So it actually may add things, it may remove things, it actually modifies the admission control, or it modifies the API object on the way in. And we'll talk about the use cases for that as well. Let's take a look at validating admission controllers first. With a validating admission controller, the goal is to ensure some sort of property for an object is maintained. And generally, when we think about this, we think about this in terms of something like policy. As a concrete example, the Gatekeeper open source project that's maintained by Azure and others to build policy for Kubernetes uses a validating admission controller to integrate itself into Kubernetes. Using a policy engine like Rego from the Open Policy Agent folks, you can actually say things like, I want every replica set must have at least three replicas. That's something that you can't express with authorization or authentication, but it is something that you can express with policy. And obviously, this is because you want to make sure that someone is doing a good job replicating their application for reliability. You could also say something like, every object in my Kubernetes cluster has to have an annotation that is the email of the owner of that resource. This becomes really valuable when you're building automation to, for example, remind someone that they may have a resource that needs to be deleted or a resource that is having a problem. Having this kind of standardized metadata in your system makes it much easier to build automation. And really, the only way to make sure that people do that is through policy so that if they don't, and they don't include that in the request over here, that request is rejected. So, obviously, building an admission controller can be a complicated thing to do. And so the great thing about projects like Gatekeeper is they integrate with admission control automatically for you. You just need to install them in your cluster. But eventually, over time, you may choose to build your own validating admission controller as well. Let's talk a little bit about mutating admission controllers. The goals behind a mutating admission controller are actually a little bit different. They're to actually change the API object to enable some defaulting or to add capabilities. So a classic example of a mutating admission controller would be to say, hey, we're going to add default CPU limits. If when someone creates a pod, they don't supply a set of resources in terms of CPU and memory that that pod needs, we're going to actually set some defaults for them. Maybe we'll set the default request at 1 core and 2 gigs of memory. And that's just to ensure that the user has a good time. Because if you create a pod and you don't specify resource limits, generally speaking, Kubernetes will totally overpack and overload the cluster. Things will start crashing. Applications won't work properly. So we help with a mutating admission controller. We help a user find the happy path instead of leading themselves down a place where they're going to actually do damage to their application and to their users. Another popular example of a mutating admission controller is a service mesh. Now, a service mesh usually involves a sidecar, some sort of sidecar container that lives next to your app container. And the easiest way to get that sidecar injected is to use a mutating admission controller that modifies the pod that a user creates to add that sidecar. That way, you don't have to educate the application developer, and you don't have to change any configurations of the applications themselves in order to get the sidecar applied to all of the containers that they create, or to all of the pods that they create. Likewise, if you need to go from version 1 to version 2 of a particular container, if you centralize it and standardize it with a mutating admission controller, you can be sure that you can change the version that everybody is using without requiring everyone to go in and change their YAML files. I hope that gives you a perspective about how admission controllers integrate with the basic API flow in Kubernetes, the differences between a validating admission controller for things like policy and a mutating admission controller for defaulting or adding new sidecars to your applications. And I hope you see how they can empower you to do even more cool things with the containers that you deploy to Kubernetes on Azure or elsewhere.